I'm Celeste Headley. I'm joined by Todd Zwillick today and all this week, actually. You're filling in for John Hockenberry while he's away. And we have big news out of Pakistan this morning. The Taliban's top military commander, Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar, was captured 10 days ago in the Pakistani city of Karachi in a joint mission led by U.S. and Pakistani intelligence forces. Baradar headed up the Quetta Shura, the Taliban Leadership Council, which has been instrumental in directing insurgents in Afghanistan and installing shadow governors there. And he's been a central figure in planning the Taliban strategy now at play in Helmand Province, where U.S. and Afghan forces continue a major offensive today. We know the United States has been targeting certain members of the Taliban and al-Qaeda for assassination, but in this particular case, maybe because of the cooperation of the Pakistanis, he was captured instead. We spoke earlier this morning with Shoaib Hassan, the BBC correspondent in Islamabad, Pakistan. And Shoaib, filled us in on the benefits of capturing the Taliban's top military commander alive.
Well, initial reports suggest, although these have not been confirmed, that he is indeed talking and he is giving up actionable intelligence, so to speak, although it's not clear at the moment what that intelligence is. Certainly, he is he's much more important alive than he is dead. He's a very important member of the current military setup of the Taliban, and he will provide intelligence that can be used on the ground in Afghanistan in the operation that's going on there right now.
Did he cross both lines? Was he the kind of Taliban leader who was involved in both the Taliban in Afghanistan and in Pakistan?
No, he was not involved in Pakistan. Actually, we don't know very much. We haven't heard a lot about him in Pakistan. He's only well known across Afghanistan as Mullah Umar's deputy in some circles. But in Pakistan, he's not that well known. That may have been the reason for him to stray as far as Karachi, where he's supposed to have been captured. That's the southernmost port of Pakistan, its largest city. It has a huge Pashtun population. Ethnic group to whom Mullah Baradar probably belongs to, but even in that case, it was a big risk for him, and which has not really borne out for him.
And with Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar, who we're talking about, was he one of the hardliners? Is his history with the Taliban go far back and philosophical in terms of his dedication to the group?
Well, definitely. I wouldn't call him a hardliner. He's, in fact, said to be one of the people who were willing to talk to the United States and to the Afghan government. He certainly is said to be one of the founding members of the Taliban, one of the first four people who founded the Taliban along with Mullah Umar. One of them is said to be Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar.
And who might step in and replace him?
Well, I'm sure the Taliban have a lot of options. This is not the first time that something like this has happened to them. As we all remember, Mullah Dadullah, who was their military commander about 3 years ago, and who was responsible for all military actions against the U.S. NATO forces, was killed in a special forces raid. And everybody said the Taliban would, back off. But in fact, they stepped up their military actions since then. That is from 2004. So I think someone will step in, but it will, in the short term, be a big and significant blow to the Taliban, especially in the current operation in Helmand.
Shoaib Hassan is the Islamabad correspondent for our partner, the BBC. He joined us from Bush House in London. And to get an idea about what this capture means in the progress between the tense relationship between the United States and Pakistani government, we're joined now by Christine Fair. She's a professor at the Center for Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown University, and she focuses on Pakistan and Afghanistan. Christine, what do we know about Baradar? Shoaib just told us that he was one of the founding members of the Taliban, but he was also one of those that was willing to talk.
Well, actually, this is the first time I've heard that, and it's entirely possible that it's true. I think one of the more interesting things about this capture, quite frankly, is that it even happened at all. Pakistan has really come under a lot of pressure from the United States because of its reluctance and even refusal to take action against the leadership of the Afghan Taliban that remain in Pakistan. And indeed, much of the so-called Quetta Shura, Quetta is actually a city in the western province of Balochistan that shares a border with Pakistan, that shares a border between Pakistan and Afghanistan. It's right across the way from Kandahar, which is the center of the Afghan Taliban. So the Leadership Council was called the Quetta Shura. It had been previously ensconced in Quetta. And over the last year or so, many of those folks have fled Quetta and they've gone to Karachi. I will point out, though, there's a reason why he wasn't assassinated. We don't run drones either in Balochistan or in any other areas except the tribal areas, and obviously Karachi is far from the reach of U.S. drones.
You know, is it possible that because he was only part known as a part of the Afghanistan Taliban, that that's why Pakistani authorities were willing to cooperate in his capture?
Well, no, actually the logic is just the opposite. Pakistan has really been reticent to do anything about the Afghan Taliban because it has always viewed the Afghan Taliban as its ally. Pakistanis are very concerned that perhaps India will have the ability to develop some strong presence in Afghanistan. And the Taliban didn't do much for Pakistan when they were in power except keep the Indians out. So I was actually quite surprised by this news. Where Pakistan has been most cooperative, it's been on Al-Qaeda. Pakistan has never seen Al-Qaeda as an asset. And Pakistan has been most cooperative in dealing with the so-called Pakistan Taliban that targets its interests. But the Afghan Taliban, they have been very careful to not do anything that would upset Pakistan. They certainly haven't done anything by way of engaging in attacks against the Pakistani state. So I personally saw this as a really important sign in terms of the progress of U.S.-Pakistan relations and Pakistan really coming to potentially realize that the Taliban is not really an asset for Pakistan over the long haul.
So he is now, Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar is now in Pakistani custody. Do we know anything about the interrogation techniques that Pakistanis might use, or would they turn him over to the United States?
I would have absolutely no insight. And if I did, I couldn't tell you that on the radio.
Please, we won't tell anyone.
No, I have absolutely no insight into that whatsoever. I wouldn't. If anyone says that they do, I wouldn't believe them.
But it's very likely that whatever he has to say is pretty important.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is that the Pakistanis obviously participated in this capture, which is an enormous signal in terms of Pakistani willingness to rethink the relationship with the Taliban. They've all, by the way, have always had longstanding ties with the Afghan Taliban. So while they might be interrogating them, let's not underestimate how much they already know.
Yeah, it's true. Christine Fair is a professor in the Center for Peace and Security Studies within Georgetown University. Thanks so much.